Alright, hey guys, it's Crimson here, and this is going to be my first actual, like, official podcast. The other one was an intro, or that's what I would like to think it is, even though it was longer than I wanted. Sorry, I'm kind of out of breath, long day, kind of tired. I really wanted to make this anyway. So, I'm doing it. Let's see. This episode of the podcast, I wanted to just kind of touch on a few different things. Clear up some stuff. Also, maybe give some more insight into, like, my bully rant that I did a video of. It was running in 20 minutes, and I really didn't want that for a video. So, what I was doing was I just kind of, like, skipped over some stuff. So I'm going to clear that up and maybe talk about a few other films in this one. I'm not having set topics just yet until I really get this stuff going. And then I'm hoping to do, like, a set topic of one movie and just sit there for a half hour to an hour. That's how long I'd like my podcast to be. Though, like I said before, they may go longer. And just talk about the film, you know. I'll warn you guys right now, at least tonight, I'll try to give you guys fair warning in my podcast. There will most likely be spoilers, just because when you're having a conversation about a movie, you're only talking to somebody who has already seen it, so there isn't spoilers. When I'm talking to you guys, I'm just going to try to not give out that many spoilers, but, you know, sometimes I just can't help it, and I will blurt things out, just so you guys know. So first off on the agenda tonight, I think I should clear up some things about Bully. If you guys didn't see my video, I will basically give you a synopsis of this film right now. It was made in 2001. It about this kid, Marty, who apparently gets bullied enough where Marty's girlfriend tells him she has a plan and they're going to kill his best friend, who is the person bullying him. There is so much wrong with this film, and because I got you guys and I have the time, I think I'm just going to go from the top and list some stuff off. Right off the bat, if you look up this movie, you will find out they say the word fuck over 270 times in under 2 hours. This movie is only an hour and 52 minutes, and they say fuck or some derivative or some form of the word that many damn times. Now, I've heard so many movies where they say fuck a lot, and you can tell, but 270 sometimes, you're just getting ridiculous. I mean, what is your writing? Like, who are you writing for, even? Because I say fuck a lot in normal conversation. If you talk to me, you will know this. Well, I say it to most people I have conversations with. Not everybody, though, because I do respect your views. But I say it quite a lot, and I couldn't imagine saying it that many times in 2 hours. Hell, I probably couldn't imagine saying it 50 times in a 2 hour span of having a very good, in-depth conversation with somebody. It's just ridiculous. Now, that was the first flaw I found out when I looked this up. What else? Character flaws. Nobody stays consistent. Not one person in this movie is anywhere near consistent. Nobody. Marty starts off being this really shy kid who doesn't want to talk to the girl. And I can't remember what his friend's name is right now. But he's the one that makes Marty talk to the people. And it's like, okay, I can handle that. The Marty's girlfriend, who becomes Marty's girlfriend, she is also played off very shy. And again, I'm sitting there going, I think I can handle this. But very quickly, like the first implied date, Marty and his girlfriend have sex in the back of the car while his best friend and her best friend are, he's getting, his best friend, Marty's best friend is getting a blowjob in the front seat while sitting there staring back at them having sex. The first half of this movie is a softcore porno. It's, it really, it is, like, you can watch softcore porn and like Cinemax and stuff like that, the late night stuff. And that's basically what the first half of this movie really is. The only difference is this is a slightly worse because it does show full frontal nudity, whereas the late nights will basically just show moaning and stuff like that and tits. It becomes to the point, and I'm a guy, so at first, seeing the girls naked, I'm like, I like this. But it gets so damn often that you're just like, do you ever wear clothes? Like, are you guys, do you guys do anything but have sex? And it's just, the way these kids talk is unrealistic. I swear to God, if I knew anybody that actually talked like that, I would punch them in the fucking face and tell them to get real. Be like, who are you trying to kid right now? It's not okay to be like that. One of the things I didn't, this is going to be a spoiler, but also I do have spoilers in my actual rant, so I don't care. Because I don't advise you waste your time seeing this movie. It's not worth it at all, just to say that. But, let's see, what since I said I was going to start from the beginning, I'll continue and figure out. You find out Marty isn't well-liked by his friend's parents, but there's no reason for that. They don't play it off as if Marty is the troubled kid. They don't play it off like, oh, he's going nowhere in life. He's the one holding you back. And they also don't give his best friend a reason to be a bully. They try to with the father, but it doesn't pan out. His father, like, in the scene with his father, the first scene, they're eating dinner, and he says, may it be excused, sir. And you get the, they try to give you the feeling that, oh, this guy has to say sir, and his father demands a lot of respect, and his father might be rough with him and be a bully, and he is a bully, but not in the way that his, he, like, it just didn't work out with what they were trying to do. Then again, nothing in this film did. In the first half of the movie, they play it off as Marty and his friend, and you know what? I'm sick of saying his friend, so since I'm on my laptop anyway, I figure I might as well just look it up real quick, and that way I'll be saying it right and you guys will know. So just give me a second. Another thing real quick, they had Nick Stahl playing Marty's friend, which was the bully. And Nick Stahl, if you guys have seen anything with him in it, Bobby. Okay, I was gonna say it right. And apparently, this says it's based on a true story. Naive teenagers plot to murder one of their own who has been too much of a bully to them. bullshit. Just bullshit. Let's see. Apparently, well, the first lines of this movie are, "I want you to suck my big dick." And then in the background, you kind of hear his Marty's mom say, "Marty, honey, dinner." And then in the phone, he says, "I want you to lick my balls." That's how the film starts out. And that's not a good way to start out anything. Alright. I was looking at the errors here in Goofs for Bully, and I know I did go off topic. But this has less goofs in it than the movie The Collector did. And it's funny when this is character error, because the whole movie is a character error. It's not even funny. Well, nothing. Although events upon which the film based take place in 1993, the film itself deliberately is not set in 1993, but in 2001. Because they didn't want to actually do the work for this damn film. Another thing I had mentioned, was Nick Stahl, and I own one of his movies, Quid Pro Quo. You guys would probably have seen him in Terminator 3. He's in Sin City. I'm looking at his movie list now. Dead Awake, Mirage 2, I think. That's really all I'm seeing that is Disturbing Behavior, that are like really known movies that you guys would actually know him from. And he's not this type of person. He's not the type of person that Bobby is. But I'm going to go back to what I was saying. I did get off topic. I apologize. In the first half, they're really trying to portray something as if Bobby or Marty or one of them is gay or bisexual. But after, like, the first half of the movie, it's just completely ignored. It's dropped off. Nobody seems to care. It's really hard to believe that, like, how do you just drop one of your plot points off? And it is a major-ish plot point, so, well, I wouldn't say major, but there's so many hints to it, and there's a lot of talk of not being gay, but things that they do, like, they're at a gay strip club, they get this guy to do all of this really gay stuff, and they film it, and it just drops as if nothing happened. And that annoyed the hell out of me, because it was something they should have kept going with if they were going to start it. Alright, going on. There is a rape scene that I mentioned in the review rant. And nobody, like, her rape was not really a rape, because she didn't exactly fight it. It was really, like, if she had screamed and yelled like most people do at the beginning of a rape, then, you know what? Her friends might have heard her, and they might have came in. Especially if she was yelling help, or something like that. And that was an issue with me. The way, and
I guess I'll use names since I have it up. I believe that Allie was the girl that Bobby raped, and Allie and Lisa, Lisa being Marty's girlfriend, were best friends. And the way that Lisa takes it is as if she doesn't care, and she blames Allie. And it didn't make sense, because she seemed like such a good, sweethearted person in the first scene you see her in. And she's not. She's garbage. She's just as bad as Bobby. And, again, I don't really feel like sitting and talking about this movie, because I kind of zoned out for a while. But out of the blue, for some reason, she believes that Bobby is the what all of their problems are. And killing him would be the way to solve everything. And I don't think she could have told more people that she wanted to kill him and that they were planning this murder. I understand how dumb teenagers are. I really do. I get it. But even at that age, which I'm not sure what age that is, because they're really portrayed and looked at as if they're 14 or 15, but there is some talk in the movie that they might be 17, like that age, and I'm 20. At 17, I knew better than if I was going to kill somebody, I would have never opened my mouth. Never. I would have told the least amount of people as possible if I had to tell any. She somehow enlists she enlists some of her friends to do this, and they're all for it. And you're like, that's oddly strange that so many people are gonna be okay to commit murder. Like, nobody really stands up and it's just like, no? Okay, I get peer pressure, but nobody? I was like, you're kidding. They all want this guy dead? And when there's a scene where Marty's, like, crying and telling Lisa all of this shit that Bobby has done to him, and he wants to move. And yeah, he does. There's a scene with him asking his dad if they can move. And he gets all pissed off at it because his dad says no. But you really don't feel for him, because he seems like the person that would be a bully. Like, he's the bigger person here. He seems to have more violent outbreaks. He seems like the one that would be a bully. And it just doesn't make sense. You're like, why? So, you know, when he does this crying and trying to make you feel for him, you really don't. You could care less about him. In fact, you could just about care less about anybody in this movie. The character development of what, like, I'm supposed to feel for these people, I don't. And I normally don't feel for people, but there's nothing remotely reasonable that would make you want to give a shit about these people. Alright, moving on. They hire this guy to kill Bobby. And at first, this girl, Lisa, who wants him dead, she seems so damn cold-hearted and stuff. But when they have the chance to kill him, she can't go through with it. So they hire a guy, and on the way to kill Bobby, they're all smoking and getting high and be like, might as well. And it's like, are you kidding me? You're gonna jeopardize, like, fucking up and doing so many stupid things because you're high? And I don't give a shit who wants to tell me being high doesn't affect you. You're not going to make a, you know, you're going to fuck up. You're not going to have a solid murder if you're high. It's not going to happen. So there was that. Now, there was an aspect that I understand but didn't like. I get talking about killing somebody and killing somebody are two different things. That you couldn't have a more different thing, probably. Like, talking about it, you're all for it. You're like, yeah. But then doing it, feeling it, seeing the person, it scared the shit out of you. And that's what it does. It scares one of the girls that gets involved. She goes and hides in the car, ducks under, starts crying. And it's understandable. But after he's dead and they're leaving, she's in the back of the car going, you know what, fuck him. He deserved to die. And you're like, but you were just freaking out about killing him. Like, first you're all for it. Then you freaked out, and now you're all like, oh, well, it's just cool to kill this guy. And that's not how it works. You don't just be like, oh, well, fuck it. You know what? He deserved to die. We're all good now. And that was one of the things I had forgotten to mention that I didn't like, is the way that she reacted. Lisa reacted very cold during this murder scene. And this murder scene was quite intense due to the music and just different factors of this scene. It was the only decent scene in the movie. She was very cold, very uncaring, and seemed quite happy and pleased that he was going to die. And then afterwards, just freaked out. But someone like her, who would have orchestrated this whole thing, put it all together, would have never, ever done this. And later on, you see, she goes to, I think, one of her old friends and asks her to go back because she wants to check to see if they left anything there. She just goes out one day and tells her friend, hey, yeah, we killed Bobby. And I was wondering if you could drive me back to the murder scene because I just want to check it out. Like, I want to see if his body's there. I want to see if we left anything there. And it's played off as if she's going to be this psychopathic serial killer type of person. But then again, you remember the scenes before where she just fell apart with killing him. And you're like, but she's not this cold person. You gotta pick one or the other. You can't have both. It just doesn't work. And sure, there are cases where people are both, but in a movie, it's so back and forth, it's not even funny. Now, in the end, they do all get caught and arrested. I don't know why I didn't pay attention. I don't give a shit why. But they did. And it was the end of the movie. And it really, the hour and 52 minutes of my life, I'm not getting back. So, that was just more on my rant of Bully. Just because I do enjoy ranting on stuff. So, I have another topic I'd like to talk about. I was watching something just, you know, before I started making this podcast, that was made in 2007. It's called Heckler. And for those of you that don't know, it is a movie that Jamie Kennedy didn't make it, but he's like the host of the documentary, I guess, and everything. Let's see. Michael Addis made it. But it's Heckler is a comedic feature documentary exploring the increasingly critical world we live in. After starring in a film that was critically bashed, Jamie Kennedy takes on hecklers and critics and asks some interesting questions of people such as George Lucas, Bill Maher, Mike Ditka, Rob Zombie, Howie Mandel, and many more. This fast-moving, hilarious documentary pulls no punches, as you see an uncensored look of just how nasty and how mean the fight between those in the spotlight and those in the dark. That's basically the plot summary for Heckler. I think movie reviewers really need to, even the big ones that are working for magazines and stuff, I think, really need to watch this because I don't agree with everything that is said. They really take a lot of the heckling and criticism very personally when they get into talking about critics and get past the hecklers. But it raised some interesting points of how vindictive we are as reviewers. Like, how I know I'm guilty of this, 100%. If I see Kristen Stewart in a movie, I don't like her as a person. I don't really like the cast of Twilight as people. So when I review a movie that they're in, which I will hardly ever do, I'm already hating on the movie just because I don't like them. And I don't think that's something that should be done, you know. I think we really need to focus more on the, like, I don't get me wrong, when I review a movie, if I don't like a character, I will tell you I don't like a character. If I don't think the actor's acting was up to par for what they're normally good at, I will tell you. I will be honest about my thoughts. But I do like to say, this is just my opinion based off of what I think. Here it is. But I really think we need to get more into, okay, this guy was playing this character. Now, as a character, how did he, like, how did the character play out? How well did he play the character? We really need to take things for what they are. They used examples in Heckler, like he saw a review for, I think it was called Piglet something. It was basically a Winnie the Pooh, but it was a Piglet film, if you guys remember that back in the day. Which was a Wednesday. Sorry, little Dane Cook joke there for you guys. And he said, the critic said, it's juvenile. You'd have to be like a 5-year-old to like this film. And he was critiquing it and putting it down. But it's like, it's Winnie the Pooh. You have to be juvenile or like a 5-year-old because that's what the movie is made for. John Lovitz, I think his name is, from the Benchwarmers, was saying that he went to the premiere of the Benchwarmers, and a lot of 12 and 13-year-old kids are saying how it's the best movie they've ever seen. And he's like, well, is it the best movie ever made? Hell no. But is it the best movie they've seen? That is a possibility because it's made for kids that age. It has their humor in what makes them laugh. And I think that really goes around with all genres of film. I know it happens a lot in comedy. It's not even funny how much comedy is put down for being juvenile and immature. But again, it's the age level that they are going for. It's the humor type that they are going for. So, you know, we need to take things for what they are. Horror movies. When you watch a horror movie, which I love, I'm not going to put down horror movies as bad or anything, but I take them for what they are. If you watch a horror movie, are you guys really going to be expecting Oscar-winning performances by the actors and actresses? No. You're going to expect stereotypes, cliches, overused plots, but that's not why you're watching it for something. You're watching it for something new. Don't get me wrong. Like, Sinister loved it because it was, I haven't seen anything like it, and I thought it was original. But I continue to watch horror movies, and yeah, I critique them on being unoriginal and these cliches, but I critique, like, how they do them and how they had the potential to do something original, but instead went with the cliche because it's easy or something like that. But I'm not expecting an Oscar-winning performance. I'm not expecting this great, well-done film for horror movies. And I'm not saying that there can't be a well-done film in horror, because there have been. But it's just what you expect. When you think Marvel super or superhero movies, Marvel, DC, are you expecting an Oscar-winning movie? No, because that's not really what the Oscars go for. So, you know, it's just kind of taking things for what they are. You know, yeah, I know I'm still going to have to work on being biased, but I don't think we need to be so hard on some of the actors and actresses just because we don't like them personally. Not liking them personally has nothing to do with the film, and I really think Heckler makes a good, you know, it uses other examples, and it really makes a good point, and I think it would really help some reviewers to actually see this. You know, a guy made a point that, oh, well, a lot of critics and reviewers haven't, you know, have you made a movie? No. Have you written a script? No. Have you filmed a movie? No. Have you acted in one? No. Then how the hell do you know what you're talking about? And I partially agree. I have not done any of them. I would really love to. But that doesn't, you know, I think that definitely helps in your ability to review being a part of the community of film. But I don't think it's essential. Like, I think I can review if it's a well-done film just from my knowledge. But I'm not, like, I'm not critiquing your, like, talent of, oh, well, you just suck because you can't do this like this. And I know that kind of may not have made sense. It really helps if you guys have seen this. I highly advise any people that are looking into reviewing movies or already movie reviewers, or, in fact, any kind of reviewing person to check this out. It is a documentary on hecklers, so a lot of it does have stuff to do with hecklers. But there's a thin line between heckling and reviewing and criticism. So, you know, and kind of, plus there's a lot of humor because it's about stand-up heckling. So it's a nice, easy watch. One of the better documentaries I have seen, and it really keeps you interested, or at least it did with me. Well, guys, I am 33 minutes into my podcast, and just, you know, kind of pops into my head with things I've been reading and looking up, but I think, I don't know if I should redo some of my reviews. I think that would help if I had some input from you guys. Whether you guys would like a podcast type of review of a movie where it is more in-depth than what's on my blog. You would have to, you know, obviously the spoilers would be an issue. But there's movies like Elevator, which I didn't really want to go too in-depth in on my blog. But it doesn't really spoil anything unless you've seen M. Night Shyamalan's film Devil that I think he produced or whatever. So that would be nice to have some input from you guys on that. And another thing I want to talk about was, I was apparently quite wrong. At the beginning of the year, I was saying I was really worried for film this year because most of the movies that were said to be coming out and that were talked about coming out were the Avengers, all of the Marvel movies, the DC movies, basically superhero movies. Then you had movies like The Great Gatsby, Carrie, which are remakes, and you were basically having remakes, reboots, parodies, sequels, prequels, and not too much movies from based off of video games, and not too much original content. I am retracting my statement now that I have seen some more trailers. There's a movie coming out, I believe at the end of May, that I am really looking forward to. It's called Now You See Me. It has Jesse Eisenberg, I think it is how you say it. Morgan Freeman. James Franco's younger brother. Mark Ruffalo. The cast looks fantastic. The female lead, I can't think of who she is, but she's known to. It's basically a magic movie, but for teenagers and adults, where it's these magicians are breaking into banks and stealing money using magic, and they tell people, like in the trailer you see, they go, tonight, guys, for one of our tricks, we're gonna rob a bank. And apparently they are, and I am so excited to see this film, because I don't know any movies that are like this. I think it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be really, it looks really good. Morgan, you know, obviously Morgan Freeman's in it, so right there is a huge helpful thing for the movie. It will bring in a big crowd because we all love Morgan Freeman. Jesse Eisenberg, or however you say his last name. I'm a big fan of his. I really am. Zombieland, Adventureland, or whatever it's called. I think it's called Adventureland. Then you have Zombieland, The Social Network. I love his smug, smart-ass attitude. I like his shyness also. He seems like another real person. And that is something in the business that we are having right now. We're having a flood of it, and I really enjoy it. We have actresses like Ellen Page, Jennifer Lawrence, who, when they speak their minds. They don't hold something back because it's not right. They don't have a filter. And they seem like real people. They're, you know, when they're in a movie, they can act. You know, that's another thing that they have, is they can act different parts, but at the same time, they're playing themselves. They're playing real people, and it's so much more convincing. And he is one of the actors that fits into that group. Like, for male actors, you have him and Michael Cera. And that's just a couple that I can name off that I really like. And they normally play their parts really well. Jesse does a fantastic job in his roles, and I really enjoy him. So this is a movie I am really looking forward to. We also have The Purge, which, if you guys didn't know, is a horror movie that comes out this year. It is basically, crime is illegal, you know, obviously, but for one night a year, all crime is legal. Doesn't matter what it is, murder, arson, rape, anything you want to do, on this one night a year, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to purge yourself of all of the bullshit that you've held intact for a whole year on this one night. And that's an awesome, awesome concept. I love it. It seems fantastic of her concept. And this family helps this guy, lets him in their house, and the people that are after this guy come after the family. It seems like another Straw Dogs, Strangers type of setup, but the concept of the movie and the plotline are so different and unique and have so many possibilities that go along with it that I'm really looking to see where they went with it. So that's two movies. Also, even though it is a sequel, ever since the night they put out the trailer, which I believe was the MTV Movie Awards, the Hunger Games Catching Fire trailer, the movie looks phenomenal. They got a new director, which worries me a bit. But based off the trailer, he's really captured the essence of the film that he is making. The trailer makes the districts look very dark, very gritty, very poor. And don't get me wrong, The Hunger Games, the director did a great job doing this. But this one, it seems so much more convincing, so much more gray and dull. And it just, and now that things have been getting worse, they've done, it looks like things are getting worse. If you guys have, I'm not going to spoil anything, because Hunger Games is something I really, what they did with the trailer, I think they did right. If you guys have read the books, you know what happens in the second movie. I'm not going to tell anybody. I don't want, because that's going to be one of the last movies I want to spoil, because that will ruin a lot. A lot of people who haven't read the books and have just seen the movie will be really disappointed if they find out stuff about it before. And again, this was called a teaser trailer, or the first official trailer. I'm not sure which. It seemed more of an the length is of an official trailer, but it really seemed to be just the content of the trailer seemed to be a teaser trailer, because they didn't mention, they hinted at it in the very end of the trailer. And for anybody who's read the books, you know what I'm talking about, when he said something like, they're gonna have to be taken out, and he says who, and he says like all of the winners, she's made it so they all feel invincible or whatever. And for anybody that's read the books and knows what's going on, you know what that's hinting to. And I thought it was great that they didn't show anything of it, and they waited till the very end of the trailer to even mention that. Like, it blew my mind that we can, the last trailer that I had this strong of feelings for was the Dark Knight Rises trailer, where Christian, obviously Batman, is at the ball or gala with Catwoman, and she says there's a storm coming, and he's like, oh, you sound like you're happy about it or whatever, and she goes, I'm adaptable. It has the same feeling of that trailer, and if you guys don't know what feeling that is, I'll explain about the Batman trailer. The Batman trailer is one of the most perfect movie trailers I've ever seen, and it got me so hyped for the movie that the first time I saw the movie in theaters, I didn't like it, because it didn't live up to the trailer. Now, I've seen the movie two or three times since then, and I fell in love with it. I think The Dark Knight Rises is a great film. I kind of got over some of the holes when I watched it a few more times and understand it. But this trailer built it up so high, because it starts out with that, and the music is so calm, and it's basically like in the eye of the storm, where everything is calm and peaceful, and nothing's going wrong, but all around you, all you see is this destruction, this damage, and the world going to hell. But where you're at is so peaceful and calm, and it just seemed so perfect for this movie. I had so many high hopes for what was gonna happen, that the movie was gonna be that, and in a way it is. And it lives up to the trailer if you watch it a couple times. But just the feeling you get from the trailer and the music, it envelops you into the middle of what's going on. You're in the middle of hell, but you're at peace with it. You don't mind, because there's nothing going on. You're just there, and you have this nice music, very peaceful, very calming, and it's not your problem. The world may be going to hell, but it doesn't matter, because where you're at right now, you don't have a care in the world. And The Hunger Games really The Catching Fire trailer, in my opinion, guys, really touches on that. Everything's going on around me. All of this bad stuff. But I can't help it. Like, I'm in the middle of the eye of the storm. I'm in the eye of the storm. And it's calm. But you know shit's going down. You know things are getting worse. You can tell. And it's just a feeling that I haven't seen the movie trailer in a long time. And I was really pleased to see it with Hunger Games. Now, if you guys don't know my background to Hunger Games, I will tell you. I never saw anything on the Hunger Games before I saw the movie. I saw it in theaters twice, just because I fell in love with it that much after I saw it the first time. But, hang on a second, guys. Alright, there we go. The buzz around the Hunger Games before it came out was so big, and it was one of the most talked about movies before it even came out and was released. Jennifer Lawrence blew up because of the Hunger Games. She was in movies before. Hell, she was even in X-Men First Class. But Hunger Games blew her up to stardom. I never read the books, hadn't even really heard of them, but at the time I was talking to a person who sadly I no longer talked to, but she was telling me how good Hunger Games books are, and how much she loved them, and how much I really needed to read them, and she tried explaining to me what the plot line was, but I wasn't really paying attention because normally there's very few people I take book advice from. And it just seemed, the talk about it, that it wasn't going to be something I wanted to see. I never saw a trailer because I really didn't watch, I don't watch commercials unless it is a movie trailer. And I don't know, I just somehow, I didn't see anything. So when I went to see The Hunger Games, I went to see it because of the popularity and the buzz. And I was trying to get into the movie reviewing scene. So I knew this would be a must-see movie. So I went and saw it, and I was blown away. Not only was the movie phenomenal, but the plot line, the acting, the filming, it was great, it was fantastic, and I loved it. And after I left and went home that night, I saw a trailer for The Hunger Games, and it made me want to see it. It wasn't as good as the trailer for Catching Fire, but it made the movie look fantastic, which it is. And then, after I love this movie so much, I went out and I bought all three books, and I read all three books fairly quickly. Besides the fact that they are an easy read, I just got enveloped in the world of The Hunger Games. And this was one of the few times I didn't mind having the people's faces to match the names. Because I'm not really sure what I would have thought. You know, we'll never know. Like, never again, most likely, will somebody read Twilight and not think Robert Pattinson. Or not think Kristen Stewart's face when they read the book. Harry Potter will never be the same. I remember reading the first two Harry Potters. And don't get me wrong, Daniel Radcliffe was a good-look person for the first few films. But as he got older, especially in 4, he just didn't seem to match my look for Harry Potter anymore. But for the first two films, I had read the books before the films were made. And so I had a vision
But I can barely remember what it is now that I have the faces of them in there. But with this, I didn't have an issue with it. I actually enjoyed when reading Katniss, seeing Jennifer Lawrence acted out in my head. Though Catching Fire and Mockingjay hadn't been made, I saw her acting in these. I saw Liam Hemsworth. I saw Josh Hutcherson. You know, Donald Sutherland, and I loved it. I thought, you know, I did have characters, because they add in characters, don't get me wrong, that I didn't have faces for. So I, you know, I made them up, and that is one of the greater features of reading, is the ability to do that. But they did so well with these films. And yeah, there's minor anomalies and fuck-ups with the Hunger Games that I personally think that they should not have done, because it will fuck stuff up later on. But it's nothing too major that is really going to hinder the plot, because they can leave certain things out, I guess. But that's kind of like my Hunger Games background. So I am really excited for Catching Fire, and I am now kind of biased because I'm a huge Jennifer Lawrence fan. I'm a huge Hunger Games fan. I'm not obsessed. But yeah. Alright, guys. One more thing I should mention is I don't know how often I will be doing podcasts. I'm reaching an hour here, 51 minutes, going on 52. I don't know how often I want to do that. I enjoy talking, and no, it's not because I enjoy the sound of my voice, because actually I quite hate the sound of my voice. I don't like it at all. What I thought I sounded like before I started making videos and what I actually sound like are two totally different things. But nobody ever really told me that. I guess all of the friends I had were used to my voice and knew what it was, and I just didn't expect it. And when I finally, like, actually heard my voice in one of the first few videos I made, I was like, I almost didn't post it because I'm like, I hate it. I can't stand it. So no, it's not just because I like hearing my voice, because I really, you know, I go through my podcast and I do listen to them and make sure that everything's audible, or I try to. But I just enjoy talking to you guys and talking about movies, and this gives me an outlet to have a conversation with you about them. Even though you're not talking back and you're not there, it's still a way, an outlet for me to talk to you guys about them, and I really enjoy that. So I'm thinking doing a couple podcasts a week. We'll find out how well that turns out, because my sleeping schedule changes so often. Excuse me. My sleeping schedule changes so often. My body just some nights doesn't want to sleep. Some nights it wants to be asleep by like 8 o'clock. Yeah. So, there's all of that I have to deal with. I'm not really sure the frequency of these, but I will be, I promise you guys, I will continually get these out. If you guys are subscribed to my channel, you really should be looking forward to some videos, because I will have some videos coming up. Sunday, I believe it is Mother's Day. And so I was thinking of doing a video review of Mother's Day, maybe the remake. But since watching Silver Linings Playbook and falling absolutely in love with that movie, I really wanted to do a review, and if you've seen the movie, you'll understand why I want to do it on Sunday. But I don't really want to wait another week to do it, because I'm really like itching to get this out and tell you guys how much I love it. You know, it's like a new toy. When you get a new toy, you love it, and you just want everybody to know that you love it. Well, that's how I am with this, with movies. When I see something I really enjoy, like Silver Linings Playbook, I really want to just tell you guys. But if I tell you guys and just tell you guys, then there's going to be no reason to have a review. So I really wanted to do a review, so you guys, I will be doing a review for Silver Linings Playbook Sunday, I promise. What else? I'm definitely going to be watching some movies on Netflix, and I think my next podcast is actually going to be quite short. It's going to be one that I talked about on Netflix about going through movies and naming off stuff. And just for you guys now, if you do want to check out Hunger Games, that's on Netflix. Cabin in the Woods I saw was on Netflix, and that's a fantastic film. I've yet to see Wreck 3, but I have seen Wreck 1 and Wreck 2. They're basically kind of like Quarantine 1 and 2. But they're Spanish, and if you guys have seen that, Wreck 3 is on Netflix, so I've heard nothing but good things about that, so check it out. You have Rob Zombie's The Haunted World of El Super Bisto cartoon that he made, and that's raunchy but good cartoon. Oh, excuse me, apparently I need a drink. So definitely you guys check that out. Let's see, what else? If you guys want some TV shows, some of my favorite TV shows, Monk is on there. They have all 8 seasons of that, beginning to end. They have One Tree Hill, all 9 seasons of that, even though the 9th is only 13 episodes. And that's a fantastic show. Love seasons 1 through 4 the most, probably. 5 and 6 are bad. But at the end of 6 is when Lucas and Peyton left the show, if you guys didn't know. They do leave the show. And then you have 7, 8. And in 9, Lucas comes back for 1 episode. It kind of pissed me off, but it was understandable. I will talk more about that in a podcast about One Tree Hill, but that's definitely a great show to check out. So, you know what, guys? I'm about to hit an hour here. I've been talking to you guys long enough. I think tomorrow, if I can, I will do my Netflix podcast and put that up. So, you know, just look forward to that tomorrow, guys. And I'm Crimson, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow with my movies on Netflix. Thank you for listening, and please check out my blog and subscribe to my YouTube channel, and obviously continue to listen to my podcast. Thank you.